I hadn't had that kind of free time. First time in my mid-40s with a little bit of free time, I decided I wanted to use it for creative expression and just made up this project. And then the project became a whole way of living is what happened. I mean, I don't want to stop. I really don't plan to stop.
Hey, midlifers. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostess. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hi, I'm Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show. Today, I want to share something personal with you. At 45, my world turned upside down. I was going through a divorce, battling depression, grieving the loss of my brother, and dealing with chronic illness. But I want to tell you about a turning point in my journey, therapy. Speaking to a therapist was a lifeline for me. It was a safe space where I could express my pain and start to find my way back to joy and hope. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce today's sponsor, BetterHelp, the world's largest therapy service. BetterHelp offers professional licensed therapists who are available online at your convenience. You can message your therapist anytime or schedule live sessions via video, phone, or chat. I believe in the power of therapy because it helped me navigate the toughest times of my life. If you're going through a tough time or just need someone to talk to, I encourage you to try BetterHelp. As a listener of the Midlife Makeover Show, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/midlife or choose the Midlife Makeover Show during signup. Welcome to another inspiring episode of the Midlife Makeover Show. I'm your host, Wendy Valentine, and today I have the pleasure of introducing a truly fascinating guest, Mary Jo Huffman. Mary Jo is a former aeronautical engineer turned visionary photographer and author. I love it. Every day for over a decade, she has captured a photograph of found nature, turning the seemingly small and ordinary into profound revelations. I love it. This practice has not only connected her to the essence of our world, but has also led to some incredible insights about the connectedness. Did I say that word right? Connectedness of all things and the importance of place. We're especially excited because Mary Jo is here to discuss her new book, Still, which is set to release on May 1st. This gorgeous book is a collection of 275 stunning photographs. I can vouch for that. They are stunning. Each a testament to her dedication to this daily creative ritual. Along with these images are perceptive and deeply felt essays, often sprinkled with humor. I love your humor, by the way. Share the insights that she's gained through this remarkable journey. Today, we'll explore the transformative power of Mary Jo's daily photography practice, hear about the life lessons she's uncovered along the way, and hopefully shift your perspective on the beauty of the everyday. Please welcome Mary Jo Huffman to the show.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm delighted to be here. Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
We had such a good chat before. I love it. Yep. You know,
superhero sage here, by the way, everybody. Superhero sage.
Yes, superhero sage. Which is so perfect.
Setting up expectations.
Have you ever photographed sage?
I have photographed sage. I have. Yes. And the sage in my front yard is blooming right now. So I'm waiting for them to bloom a little more and I'll photograph it probably this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better put that on your blog. Put your sage on the blog. So are you still an engineer?
No. I quit corporate work 20 years ago. 20 years
and,
ago.
And okay, so what inspired you to go into photography?
Well, I had been a hobbyist. So I got introduced to photography in college by my college roommate. And she was a photographer, and we would go on the weekends and just drive. I went to undergrad at Madison, Wisconsin. And we'd go out into Wisconsin farm country, and then we'd just take turns saying right or left. Like, and then we just, so, you know, no destination, pre-GPS. And we'd photograph on the weekends. And so that's when I got introduced to photography. So then I was just a hobbyist I'm still a hobbyist. I still don't consider myself a professional photographer, but that's splitting hairs. I was a good amateur photographer for 20 years, you know, because I was working full time as an aerospace research scientist. Wow. And then I picked it up again when I started this project. So,
you know what I find interesting? Here it was. I'm sure you've probably thought about this, that aerospace macro, like way out there, grand.
Yeah.
But then you photograph and you're so fascinated by the teensy tiny things here on planet Earth.
I have not made that connection. Yeah. I went into aerospace engineering because I was good at mathematics. It wasn't a calling for me. You know, I wasn't an aviation enthusiast. I did think it would have been fun to be an astronaut. And that was kind of in the back of my mind because I was a super tomboy. I was really physically fit. And I was also, you know, a very good student. So, and I ended up going to graduate school at Stanford in aeronautics and astronautics graduate program, which is where a lot of astronauts come through. But then I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease in my 20s. And I was like, okay, they're not going to accept me. But I went into aerospace because it's a very heavily math-based. Matter of fact, in some universities, it's called like applied physics. Mm. And it's just very, very mathematics-based. And I happened to be... I'm really actually superhero applied math. that's my real talent.
I love math. I love it. I love it.
So anyways, I had a weird unicorn skill in applied mathematics, and that's how I ended up at aerospace.
So you're obviously very detail oriented.
Well, it's an interesting thing because I'm not a perfectionist. I'm not a detail oriented person. I went into research. Because I had this advanced degree in aeronautics and astronautics, and I worked as an engineer as a researcher for probably 7-8, but then they quickly moved me into management, and then by the time I left, I was director of about 120 person lab that was on 4 continents, and so I was an extrovert with 120 introverted engineers, you know, all PhDs. You can see why I got pushed into. I was willing to go talk to the client, and they didn't have to. I was 10 years younger, 15 years younger than all of them. I said, "Are you guys sure you're comfortable with this? You know, me being your manager," and they're like, "Yes, you go talk to the client. Absolutely, you know, for sure, no problem."
So during this whole time, were you still doing? Yeah, photography.
So my husband and I traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like a millennial before there, you know, I'm actually was born in 64. So I'm actually the tail end of the boomer. I don't identify with boomers. I kind of do identify with Gen Xers, but I was taking every 3 years a leave of absence from work. And this is obviously before remote work from anywhere. I was taking these 3 months, every 3 years, I'd take a 3 month leave of absence. And my husband and I would travel. So I only did photography when I traveled, but for sure, when I was traveling, that's what I did. And he wrote and I did photography. So, you know, but 3 months every 3 years, that's a hobby, you know.
Had you always done the very like up close photos
or not at all?
I
did kind of cliched, I would say a little bit cliched travel photos, you know, the pretty, the pretty doors, the pretty windows, the potted plants, you know, the type.
Yep.
And I super enjoyed it. You know, when you walk around with a camera it puts you in a certain state of awareness or attentiveness. You know, you become very present because you're looking, you're kind of on a treasure hunt. And so I liked walking around with camera. I liked being in that state. So no, the detailed nature photos came when I started this project. I wanted to do one of those one a day projects and that were so popular. That still are. They still are because they work. I mean, they're, they work so effectively well. And so I wanted to do one of those and just looked around my environment and say, okay, what do I love? What do I have access to? I actually even considered doing, I do visual journaling and I do collage work. And I was going to do a collage a day. That was, you know, a candidate till the very end. And I thought, no, I have to walk the dog every day.
Right.
I have a camera. I'm a amateur photographer, a good amateur photographer. And so I'm going to pick up nature when I'm out walking. We're a family, the whole family's nature. We're a nature-based family. You know, I live in 3 acres of woods on a Minnesota lake, you know, so it made sense to do nature.
Yeah.
And so that's what I picked, but I considered like a collage a day, a pattern a day. Yeah. I considered other things. Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'm just going to keep this simple. I'm just going to do one little picture of some type of plant. Is it always plants or no?
No, not at all. Okay. It's whatever I find. So I do a lot of feathers, rocks, shells, pine cones, whatever I find when I'm out walking.
And you've got to have a really awesome camera to get the detail.
You know, people ask me that. It's so funny. I have an average camera. I have a Canon Mark IV D5. You know, what is it even called? I'm so not about the tech. It's called the 5D Mark IV Canon. And it's got one little 50mm lens on it. I mean, I have other lenses, but this is the only one I use. And for me, the project was never about gear. Matter of fact, I knew that if I was going to do, so I set it up as a 1-year project. And I knew if I was going to do, and it's been 12 and a half years, by the way, listeners, and I haven't stopped. So that's the interesting part. But I set it up. I didn't care about tech. I didn't want to do tech. And I knew if I was going to do one photo a day, every day for 12 years or for 1 year, the original project, it would have to be simple. So it couldn't be about the tech. Matter of fact, my project could easily be done today on an iPhone. Very easily.
Wow. Do you photograph them while you're in nature or do you take them and then go back to a studio?
I bring them home. I photograph on my kitchen floor. I happen to have skylights in my kitchen floor. So it's just happens lighting. To be the best light in the house. Mm-hmm. And I've tried having a studio because of course I bring all the nature in the house and then it piles up. Maybe my superpower is like, don't care if I have a dirty kitchen floor. It's my superpower. So anyway, I do it on my kitchen floor. I just use white poster board, a simple $100 tripod and a $50 white diffuser to make sure I have soft light. Mm-hmm. That's it. In a ordinary camera.
But I got a little bit into photography. I think I shared with you, I went to school in Paris. I went to pastry school, Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, interesting.
And so when I got back, I was like, okay, then I opened up my little pastry business and I started to photograph some of my pastries and I did get the 50mm.
Yeah.
And I was more fascinated just by the closeness that you could get. And like, you could see like the raspberry jam coming out of the raspberry macaron.
Yep.
You know, like I loved that. But I was like, oh, wait, people need to see more. They need to see the macro, not the micro, you know?
Or
but
both. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like maybe this is just for me. Like I remind myself nowadays to keep things simple and to notice the simple things. And I start, since I've been RVing, I've been hiking more. I don't know if you've heard of the term. Is it
Shinrin-yoku?
Yeah, forest bathing. Yes, forest bathing. And I love it. And I actually like crave, I've been working so much. I've been sitting inside the RV a lot. So I haven't been doing as much hiking as I normally do. And I miss it just because you can actually, as you're walking, because you do have to kind of pay attention as you're walking when you're hiking, right? Because otherwise you'll trip and fall on your ass. But I noticed even, especially here in Sedona, I'll notice like the tiny little red rocks or a little white rock right next to it. And just, you know, it's like if you were to stop and actually pick them up and look at them, and then you see all the different the curvature and the angles, and it's just so cool.
Yeah, I love, you know, with the new modern technology, specifically fMRIs, you know, functional fMRIs, I love what they're learning now about the brain, right?
Yes.
And it just, it's just coming in so fast and furious with now that we have this fMRI technology and what they're seeing, you know, about the human, what happens in the human brain when we're in nature. It's just awesome. And it's so, I mean, of course, we've evolved, you know, hundreds of thousands of years in nature. And, but, you know, to see how it affects the brain. So yeah, forest bathing for sure. You know, it works. It works on multiple levels. Yeah.
I was actually studying a little bit more about meditation just in the last couple of weeks, which I've been, you know, meditating for a while now, but then also the neurophysics behind it, the brain waves and how actually like when you're meditating, I mean, you're usually like between what, theta and alpha, right? Yeah, like delta is when you're like sleeping.
Right.
You and I right now are probably in beta. Hopefully you're in beta and you're not sleeping now. Hopefully the listener is in beta too. But point is that meditation isn't always just sitting, you know, in a chair in stillness with your eyes closed. That meditation can be even with taking photographs and it's so, your brain will slow down. Yeah.
It's so interesting that you went there, went this direction, because I just, first of all, I just replied to an email from Yoga Journal to do an article on how my practice is a mindfulness practice. And so that, I mean, you know, because when I give workshops, that's what I say, you know, which is I started this creative project to as a creative project, as a creative challenge. But what it became was a mindfulness practice that I didn't want to stop. Because in order to find my subject every day, I had to be present.
Yep.
Fully present in my environment. So, so it's very, very, very much a mindfulness practice. And it, instead of focusing on my breathing or focusing on my thoughts, you know, internal, I'm just focused on nature. I'm just focused external, but it's every bit a mindfulness practice. Mm. My husband was recently at the Mayo Clinic here in Minnesota for just a general physical. And there was a, I forget what they call it, like a, anyway, a mindfulness coach, right? She said, current research is saying that actually mindfulness practices that focus outside instead of internal might be more health giving than the internal. You know, the internal one still has its place. You slow down your breathing, you connect to your thoughts, all that kind of stuff. But the ones that focus external might be the higher, you know, the higher order practice, which is interesting. So, you know, it's an interesting, I haven't followed up on that, but that's what he learned at the Mayo.
And I would think like for you, when you're looking for something, or maybe you're, do you always, well, let me start this question. When you are looking for something, do you find it or does it find you?
Both.
Okay.
So I have to, you know, I have to make a photo a day, and I've been making a photo a day for 12 and a half years. And I just gave a talk on Saturday. So I did the little day counter app to see how many days it was since January 1st, 2012. It was 4,500.
Wow.
So I have made 4,500 daily photographs. And so, you know, how I find my subject is like every which way, you know. I sometimes, you know, when you do something for 12 years, like I come home from running an errand, there's a shoebox on my step from the neighbor, you know what I mean? With something that he found in his yard, you know? So, but mostly I'm out walking the dog but I'm just very, very present. And because I know I have to make a photo that afternoon, you know? And so, so it's, you know.
Do you find now, especially with the book and knowing that you're putting your art out there, like it's really out there.
Yeah, it's really out there.
Do you find, are you looking for something for Mary Jo? Or are you looking for the reader?
Yeah. So almost entirely the projects for myself. It started as a project for myself. I never, ever expected to get an audience. Never.
Yeah.
I started it for myself. I wanted to learn. I've always been stumped by the art of composition. Like, it always felt like magic to me. And so I wanted to like play with elements of composition. That's for myself. It was like starting a palette, you know, a workout
mm-hmm.
routine.
Right.
You know, it was a creative workout routine. That's it. But then it got traction. The only thing I do for external is I post every day to a blog called Still Blog. And I've done it every day for 12 and a half years. And if I've done a lot of the same kind of photos in a row, mm-hmm. I don't even know the size, but I do know I have people that wake up every morning and make a cup of tea and check Still Blog, you know? So yes. Then I tell them, you know, I'm trying to mix it up to keep it fresh. You know what I mean? So if I've done a lot of leaves or a lot of flowers, I try to throw in something totally different that keeps them on the alert, you know?
What I was going to say earlier, and then I ended up changing my question, but I want to go back to that because, so basically it's like, you're going out there, you're finding mm-hmm. something that really inspires Mary Jo, mm-hmm. but then you're taking it back with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking that photograph and then you're putting it out there
yep.
into the yep. world for everyone else. So it's kind of like this nice give and exchange of,
yeah.
of giving right. and receiving. And just like the lady had said at the Mayo Clinic, right?
Yeah.
She's like, sometimes it's like going outward instead of inward,
right.
but it's really both for you, which I mean, right. Like when we give, we do receive anyway.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I find I walk out, you know, I go outside and I find a turtle shell or a, you know, a
yeah.
blue jay feather. And I, you know, when I come home, I photograph it. And then I put it on the blog and I always write a little paragraph, you know, about it. And I think, you know, all I'm doing is transferring my enthusiasm. Like,
yes.
oh my God, look how beautiful this is. Like, isn't this cool? Can you believe, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
There was one, I was looking through your blog this morning and I loved it.
Thank you.
It was titled Take Your Own Path. I don't know if you remember uh-huh. this.
Yeah.
And it says, there are any number of ways to get from A to B. This old vine found its own way, and I found it beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. Like, you see the vine, and it's just like the squiggly, like, woo, I want to go this
yeah.
way. And there's so much meaning to that.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, think about your path that you've been on for the last 12 years. And just like you said, you never thought that, oh, like, if you start the path with, I'm going to be a published author and I want this book to be like, then it's like, ooh,
instead, right, too much like, pressure, way too much pressure.
One step at a time, one picture
yeah.
at a time. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Just the vine is not like, okay, I'm planning on climbing all the way up this building. Like,
yeah.
it's just like,
I mean,
okay, the sun came out. I feel like going that way. Okay. I'm going to go over this way. You know, it's like,
yeah. Imagine if I got a creative brief. I'm not a creative director. I'm an aerospace engineer. I picked up a camera. But imagine I got a creative brief that said, you know, create a portfolio of 4,500 daily nature photos. Like, you'd go, no way. That's insane. That's undoable. It's unachievable. But then, yeah. you know, and then here I am with this huge portfolio, and I have enjoyed every minute of it. Yeah.
So, question for you.
Because
mm-hmm. I read, maybe it was the blog post before or after that, when it was about your book coming out and how mm-hmm. you were saying that here it was like 12 years you've been taking
yeah.
these photos, and then here it is, your book is coming out, and then you're in pre-order and you're like,
yeah.
okay, I've been on X amount of, you know, podcasts,
uh-huh.
et cetera, et cetera. And you're like, oh my gosh, just to have that time of
yes.
simplicity. I'm not exactly sure what your words were, but do you feel that now, as you're busier, and this mm-hmm. has become like, okay, this went from like one picture a day, it's a little hobby, now it's a business. How are you finding the stillness?
Yeah, yeah, that's a yeah. really astute question. Yeah, I've, and you know, I don't know how far back you read, but I have said to my readers, okay, here's the irony. I, you know, built this dailiness practice called Still, that's on, you know, it's called Still, the Art of Noticing is the book, but Still, that is about slowing down, pausing, just noticing the beauty all around us in the ordinary.
Yeah.
And it's, And then yet I just launched a book and you're going to do it soon. You know,
I know.
There's a lot of activity and never in the last 12 years has my inbox been so full, and for media kit requests and all that kind of stuff. And so I said to my readers, you know, I'm not still right now. You know what I mean? And I can't be. There's expectations on me from my publisher, you know. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm not still, and I'm going to continue. I'm not going to break the chain. I won't break the chain. I'm going to continue to make a daily photo, but you know, bear with me. Some of them might be phoned in, you know. if it's just a handful of grass from the front yard, that's why.
As you know, midlife is a bustling time. We manage households, nurture relationships, advance careers, and raise children. These responsibilities, while fulfilling, can sometimes drain your energy and diminish your personal strengths. To help you reawaken those dormant powers and embrace the superhero that you truly are, I created the Superhero Quiz at mysuperheroquiz.com. This fast, free, and fun quiz will help you discover which superhero mirrors your strengths and personality. Plus, you'll receive a detailed guide tailored to your superhero profile, helping you to harness your strengths and soar to new heights. Just head over to mysuperheroquiz.com and embrace the superhero within you.
Do you find it's a chore or luxury to get that moment just to go and take your picture,
you know,
for the blog?
And this is the power of dailiness. It's both. Yeah. There are days that are just they get away from you. Your head's not in it. You know, I am the primary caregiver for my 88-year-old mom. We've been in and out of the hospital for 3 years. There are just days when, you know, you're just, it's a chore. You know, and I use natural light. So the sun is setting. Oh my God, I haven't done still. My husband walks by and says, every day, you know, like, how can you forget? You know, like, how are you forgetting after 12 years? So those days are chores. And then there are other days where I wake up and I have a mostly free calendar and it's a pleasure, right?
Yeah.
I can't. I'm looking forward to it. The thing I've learned, the interesting power about this dailiness and why it's in this incredible, sneaky superpower is that I have this portfolio of 4,500 images. I should look at the book because I can remember making every photo, which is another interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because of the present, you know, that mindful presence you have when you make the photos. But I should look. But often, not always, but often those rushed off, you know, 2 minutes before the sun is setting photos are some of the best.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
You know, and the one that I carried in the back of my head for a week and thought, okay, oh, look, the red osier dogwood and the crab apples, and there's all these red things. I'm going to make this really lovely composition of red. But I first have to gather it all. I'll think about that for a week and I'll make it. It's one day of 4,500 and it, and, you know, the image never is, you know, nobody ever sees it again. So it's very, very interesting. And that's the power of dailiness. There's reasons for that. When you're rushing, when you have a deadline, you shut down that, there's no time to second guess. You shut down that inner critic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're working on pure intuition. You're not over intellectualizing, but it's happened to me so many times. Yeah.
Not that Instagram can be compared to your art, but I have found interestingly that when I post something, I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm just going to throw it up there today. Yeah. And I'm like, it got 10,000 views. I'm like, what the heck? I spent like hours on. I was like, totally done.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why dailiness works, because you get both of them. And then you just, what dailiness does is it makes that process, the daily making of a photo, that makes that sacred, not the results. Mm-hmm. So all you're saying is I will commit to the process. I won't break the chain.
Yes.
And then whatever comes out, you know, and so it's a commitment to not breaking the chain. It's super powerful.
Yeah. And you know what, too? I mean, I'm digging deep on this one, but it's self-care. It's actually putting yourself, your gifts, your talents, yeah. your desires, making that a priority.
Uh-huh. It is. It is.
I'm sure that you weren't, and that would be great if you were, but because I know you mentioned autoimmune disease, but for 12 mm-hmm. years that you couldn't have been possibly healthy every single day and you felt like awesome every day. Did you have days that you felt like shit and you're like, I do not feel like going out there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I've had surgery, all day surgeries, luckily. So no, you know, no hospital stays. So part of it is it's been 12 years of my life that have had, I haven't had a lot of disruption. So that it's one reason I've been able to not break the chain. But the other reason I can do it without breaking the chain is the minimum requirement to meet the found nature on a white background posted to the blog can be done in minutes. So the minimum requirement is super low. So I can say to my husband in the parking lot of, you know, the St. John's ER where we're going to get my mom, hold this leaf in front of your white t-shirt and I'll make a photo. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the minimal requirement to meet it is small enough that I can, no matter what's going on every day, meet it.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's why I can say, and that's why the beauty of, you know, the daily project and don't break the chain is that that's fine. That day is never going to get seen again, but I did it, you know. Mm-hmm. I made that commitment to myself. And really, you know, you could say I made it to my followers, but I didn't expect to have followers. I made the commitment to myself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I don't mean to bring myself up again about going to school in Paris, but that is when I fell in love with writing. I did not know that I would like writing. I did not know I could write. But when I went to school, everyone was asking me, well, how are we going to keep track of how you're doing? And I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll start a blog. And then, you know, you guys can follow along with what I'm doing. And every single day I wrote, I didn't overthink it. I was like, I'm just going to write and tell about my day. It's like, not a big deal, you know? And within 4 weeks, I had 80,000 followers.
Oh,
isn't
my
that
God.
Crazy?
That's crazy. What year was that?
That was, it would have been about 10 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a little over 10 years ago.
It was the heyday of kind of blogging.
Yes. Yeah.
It kind
but
of
you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was committed to it without even saying, I'm going to do this. I wanted to do it. I craved
it. Right.
That.
That's
and
the key.
I actually
right.
like, I remind myself now, even with going into writing my book, keep it simple. Like, I feel like nowadays, because there's so many great inventions out there, there's like, we don't have to reinvent things to become like, or to do what you love. Like, and that's like for you, it's great. That is still feels like a hobby to you because it is doing what you love.
I'm doing what I love and it's super simple. And then, you know, I started this thing for myself, a little creative calisthenics every day. And then I did get attention. And I do think part of, you know, what people tell me is they see my images, they get an overwhelming feeling of calm. You know what I mean? It just reminds them to slow down, just look at one thing. But, you know, my images are super uncomplicated. The process is uncomplicated. Anyone could do it. You know, I do think that's part of the appeal. I'm trying to understand the appeal, but whatever, you know. But, you know, it's very, very simple.
I have to tell you, the other day, I was having a really bad day. And I was, like, looking. I was like, okay, what guests do I have coming up for this next week? And I went to your blog, and I started scrolling. And I had this calmness just come over me.
Interesting. That's awesome.
And I found myself looking even closer at, like, you have like such close up photos, but I was even going in,
zooming in.
I mean, I'm like, what's inside that little thing, you know, or looking at the vine and all the different variations of the vine. Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's so fast. So, definitely mindfulness. And back to Instagram, I just posted something on there the other day, but I feel like at midlife, it is such a great time to really tap into your creativity. Because I mean, a lot of us were empty nesters. You do have a little bit more time. It's like, okay, what am I going to do with my time? And so what is your recommendation for people out there that are like wanting to do some type of project? Like, what if I committed a year to doing this? Like, did you, like, I had never heard of that. How did you find out about that? Like, doing some type of daily project?
One-a-day project.
I never heard of that.
So it was, you know, it was 2000. And so I was, you know, a full-time aerospace engineer, corporate, you know, hours. And it, that required a lot of travel. Aerospace is an international business and busy. And then I had a, we had our daughter and my husband was the stay-at-home. I was working. And so, you know, we're now in our 40s, you know, and, but I still wanted something, you know, I still wanted a creative outlet. I do, you know, I think I agree with you that midlife is a good time. Cause my husband and I had, when we were young, we got married really young, 23. we've been married forever. So when I turned 60 in a couple of weeks, so that's an idea of how long. So, you know, we both had creative ambitions and then, you know, started the whole conventional midlife thing, right?
Yeah.
Home, the mortgage, the kids, you know, and those are busy years. They're super busy. Yeah. But before we started those years, we both tried to, or especially my husband tried to be a writer and he just, you know, he struggled and now he's come back to it and started again in midlife in our 40s. And I can tell you about why we both started. Cause it was, we were living in Southern France at the time with our two kids and we'd taken a sabbatical and gone to Southern France and put the kids in school. And it was the first time since we'd had kids. Eva was like 14. Joseph was about 9 or something. It was the first time since we'd had kids when we had free time as parents, right?
Yep.
And so I said, let's practice for retirement. And so Steve started writing. I started this one-a-day blog or this one-a-day project. And that was as simple as it, they were popular. And I was, I had not, because I was working full-time, had not been on the computer, not on social media, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't on any of those things. But when I did finally in France have time to look at that stuff going on, what is a blog, you know what I mean? And then I found this community of artists online and it was like, dang, they're having fun. They're sharing their work. They're all like, the comments are generous and supportive. You know, everybody's so kind and supportive. Like I want to be part of, my expression is I want a seat at the table, but I want to be part of this community. So I just was like, I'm going to do a one-a-day project and start sharing it. And it was that simple. I mean, I just like, they're having fun. I'm in France for the first time in my life, with, you know, some free time, first time since really in my life, I put myself through college. So like, working 30 hours a week while I was an undergrad. So, you know, I hadn't had that kind of free time. First time in my mid 40s with a little bit of free time, I decided I wanted to use it to for creative expression and just made up this project. And then the project became a whole way of living is what happened. I mean, I don't want to stop. I really don't plan to stop.
No, it's feeding your soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
And others too.
Yeah. So yeah, I started, you know, so I made a comment at a workshop recently. I stumbled into this thing that I started with such simple expectations that became a mindfulness practice. And then it became more than that, which is this whole way of being in the world. I call it a life living as a total work of art. But, and I said that, you know, I stumbled into it with dumb luck. And one of the participants said, no, that was intuitive wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is some, there was some of that, you know, and it's simple. I was a tomboy nature kid as a, you know, I was outside all day in the, as a kid, you know, and to, and that I considered collage and nature and painting patterns, you know what I mean? These were all things I considered, but I picked nature. That was intuitive wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I went back to the thing I loved as a child.
So fascinating that you say that because as soon as you, I love swinging on vines when I lived, when I was a little girl in St. Louis and I was such a tomboy and maybe that's why I was so attracted to the vines, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And everyone's creative. Everyone is.
Oh, no doubt.
Everybody. You just have to find, and maybe like it'll find you, kind of same type of thing, right? You don't, because I feel like sometimes we try so hard, even most of my life, I was like, what's my purpose? What am I going to do? And then in some ways I stumbled across what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Sometimes it'll find you.
It will find you. But as I do think that there's, you know, there was some intuitive wisdom there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Self-knowledge.
Oh, for sure.
Call it what you want. Call it what you want. Yeah. When people say,
and plus too, it's like, it's not like either one of us, when we were, you know, I started writing in France, you started taking the pictures.
Right.
We weren't after like, I've got to get 100,000 followers on Instagram
or
I've got to get X amount of people reading this. We're just doing it.
Right. I mean,
I think that is the best way to do it.
I wouldn't have wanted that. You know what I mean?
No,
because I was still, you know, very much, you know, I had my plate full with kids, you know, and then it just happened. Yeah.
I love it.
Let's see.
What did I say? This episode will come out May 6th. Your book comes out May 1st.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. That's tomorrow. May 1st.
Yeah.
So how can we find your book? How do we find you? And how do they read your blog?
Oh, okay. The blog is called Still Blog. If you just type in Still Blog, you'll find it's the first hit because 12 and a half years of daily posts. So it's high up in the SEO. My name is Mary Jo Hoffman. And I'm on Instagram as Mary Jo Hoffman. But I think if you probably typed in Still, you'd find me there too. And the book is called Still, The Art of Noticing. And it's a coffee table art book. The publisher is Fiden, the world's biggest art book publisher. Yeah. And because they're the world's biggest art book publisher, it's available everywhere worldwide. Worldwide.
And
I just
googled
it the other day and I saw it.
I have an Amazon store. I'll add it to my Amazon store too.
I'll
put that in the book section.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If you guys want to go there. Yeah. But yeah, you guys can find it anywhere. Yeah. I want one. We talked about this before. You're like, well, but you're in an RV. I'm like, that would be one book I would love sitting there and just
I'll send you one. Yep. And I'll get one sent to you. Yeah. It's doing so well. The book is just, I honestly for sure surprised me, but it's also surprising my publisher how well it's doing. I don't think they expected this. Nobody did. Everybody sort of, they're like, it's the sleeper hit of the season. Like we, you know, what's going on?
Isn't that interesting though? Yeah. Cause
it's
not trying so hard. Like the book's detached, you're detached. Like it just is.
Yeah. It's not trying. You know, the other thing is I've had the luxury of not having to monetize my work. And and so this is I have this highly engaged audience of kindred spirits out there, and I've never offered anything for sale. Mm-hmm. So there was some pent up demand. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, would you please sell us something?
Yes. This is the first thing I've ever put out there and said, okay, here it is. Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be me too. Once my book is out there,
you have a title for
the end of this year. Yes. It's called Women Waking Up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Waking Up, 7 Steps to Master Midlife.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I know. I'm going to take your advice though too. And it's like, it's just being detached, keeping it simple.
Oh yeah.
I personally find like the simplest teachings in life are the most profound.
Yes. Yes. Matter of fact, I've been doing this for 12 years and I've gathered so many insights and I have so much sort of knowledge wrapped around it now, you know, and I just gave a presentation on Saturday to 200 people as part of the whole book launch stuff.
Yeah.
And my husband was helping me edit the pitch deck. And I just said, I think I have to simplify. And we just stripped it bare. You know what I mean? The message.
Mm-hmm.
And it was phenomenally well received. I had to back up. I have all of this experience now, but I had to back way up and say, in one hour, what can I expect to, you know, to transfer? And what kind of message can I expect to share with them? And I backed way, 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 way up and people loved it. Yeah. I could have drowned them with a fire hose of information.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like,
walked out feeling like beat up.
Oh my gosh, this has been so good. I'm actually thinking, I'm like, what? I need to do a, not that I mean, I love all of this is creative. My writing, and doing the podcast and Instagram, all that stuff. But I do need something that's a little just simpler just for me.
Yeah. A quiet practice. Yep.
Yeah. I'll take pictures of rocks.
You're such an extrovert, though. You know, that kind of creative work is so solitary. I know. Good luck with that, Wendy.
I know. Oh, you're so great. Thank you so much.
Yes, this was fun. So fun.
Yeah. You guys get out there and get creative.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Try a daily news project. They work. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.